We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us again as we meditate upon a very instructive section of the Word which you have for us this morning. And pray that you prepare our hearts and make them receptive to the Word you have for us, and that you open the treasures of it to us as only you can do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 18, a test of faith. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that ye do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, at that time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So the trap is very cleverly set. We have in these verses a vicious satanic attack against the Jews, and especially Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This attack was orchestrated in hell, and we see the devil clearly at work here. There is some valuable instruction for every child of God in these verses. And we pray as we look at them that the Holy Spirit will give us eyes that can see and ears that can hear. The trap was set by certain Chaldeans. This in itself is extremely instructive when we look at the context. To kind of summarize a little bit, number one, King Nebuchadnezzar had had a dream that greatly puzzled and terrified him. He had two problems. Number one, he didn't know the meaning of the dream. And number two, to make matters worse, he couldn't even remember the dream. That's the first thing. Number two, he called all of his wise men of Babylon and commanded them to tell him what the dream was and what it meant. If they could do this, they would be greatly rewarded. If they could not do this, they would be killed and their houses destroyed. The Chaldeans were among the ones whom the king called. Number three, none of the wise men were able to do this. Therefore, in anger, the king commanded that they should be put to death. And these certain Chaldeans were among those who were to be destroyed. The fourth thing, Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, prayed to the Lord God, and he revealed the dream and its meaning to Daniel, who then made it known to the king. All the wise men of the king then were spared. Translation, these certain Chaldeans were among those whose lives had been saved by Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Chaldeans should have been thankful to them and showered them with gifts, but instead they plotted to destroy Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is no new thing. This record has been played over and over again throughout all history. It shouldn't surprise us. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. This is your story and mine. Every child of God can in some way relate to this. We do good, and in return, we receive evil. For our comfort, the Lord Jesus suffered and experienced the same thing. A few examples from the Psalms. Psalm 33, verse 19. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye. A wink speaks volumes. They that hate me without a cause. Okay, Psalm 38, verse 19. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. Psalm 69, verse 4, the words of Jesus again. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. We think of Psalm 41, beginning at verse 5. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to himself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All they that hate me whisper. They whisper together against me to devise my hurt. Why do they whisper? Because they don't want anybody to hear what they're saying. But God heard, and the Son of God knows. The psalm continues, an evil disease, they say, cleaveth fast unto him, and now he that lieth shall rise up no more. And then to make it worse, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his hand against me. This is typical of the children of the devil. They whisper. They do things in secret that they don't want others to know about. The secret meetings, the letters, all done under the cover of darkness. What they don't realize is that the Lord God hears the whispers that came through the darkness. And the Holy Spirit has recorded it in Scripture. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so it stands written in the eternal book. All they that hate me whisper together against me. Now everybody's going to know this at the judgment day. It's not going to be hidden anymore. All the connivings that were done in the darkness of night are going to be brought out into the daylight. more than that. What did they whisper? What were they saying against the Son of God? Quote, an evil disease, they say, cleaveth fast unto him. God's nailing him. And now that he hath lieth down, he shall rise no more. He's done. And the one that started the thing was his own familiar friend, Judas Iscariot. This is nothing new. The Son of God tells each one of us, I'm in John 15, beginning of verse 18, if the world hates you, and the word if doesn't mean what it seems to. It doesn't mean, you know, the world might hate you and it might not, but if it does, that's not what it means. The word if means really when. So let's translate it that way. This is going to happen. It's not, it might or it might not. It's going to. When the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And there's some instruction here too. We're not in the world to make it a better place, although that's some of the outcome of being a Christian. But we're called out of the world. We're not here to convert the world. You can't convert the devil and his wicked one. We're called out of it. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So there are no surprises here in Daniel chapter 3. Notice how these Chaldeans butter up the king. Live forever, O king. Sure, thou hast made a decree. You said it. These men have not regarded thee. They don't do it. They don't obey. They serve not thy God, nor do they serve the golden image that thou hast set up. The immediate response to the king is anger. The king is angry in his rage and fury. And he fulfills what the Holy Spirit tells us in Proverbs 19, verse 12. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion. Satan attacks in two different ways. Sometimes he attacks like he did in the Garden of Eden, like a cunning serpent, subtly working. Other times he tries to overcome by force. Be sober, you're vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Here is the roaring lion. Truth is this, the faithfulness of God's servants to him has been a wonder of the enemies and the persecutors. They can't figure it out. Peter tells us in his first epistle, 4 verse 4, wherein they think it strange that ye not run with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. Why aren't they living like we are? They can't figure this out. How somebody can love somebody they've never even seen and be willing to die for it. The world can't figure that out. So the king says to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, now, I'm going to give you another chance. Now, if you be ready, at that time that you hear the sound of the cornet and the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, if ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, then it's all over. We'll go home. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. The king is willing to give them a second chance. This is Satan's tactics. He will always welcome a child of God who converts back to the child to be a child of the devil. The devil will always welcome that. Don't you think he didn't welcome Judas Iscariot with open arms when Judas said, "What will ye give me, and I will betray him unto you?" Don't take the bait. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't take it. But the king made one big mistake, and it was a fatal one. The mistake he made was right at the end. He said, "If ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the fiery, burning fiery furnace." But then he said, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" The rule was turn or burn. But the challenge was put before God. And now all of a sudden, the battle is not between Nebuchadnezzar and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The battle is between Nebuchadnezzar and the Almighty God. "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Well, the king knows very well that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not going to fall down and worship his image. He knows that. So now he makes a challenge to God. And he brings God into the picture. This was the big mistake. The king forgot what he himself had said, that their God was a God of gods and a Lord of kings. He forgot that. And now he reverts back to the attitude that Pharaoh had. "Who is the Lord that I should fear his power? I know not the Lord, neither will I let his people go." So now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are called to account. What do they do? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." What does that mean? We don't have any problem. We know what our answer is already. We don't have to have a meeting about it. We don't have to discuss it. We don't have to beg for more time. We know where we stand, and we'll tell you. We're not careful about this. We'll confess what we believe, what's in the heart. There's an important lesson here. They don't have to think twice about this. And it would have been wrong for them to do that. To discuss it would have been to open a door for Satan to enter. When Jesus was being tempted by the devil, he didn't discuss it. He said, "It is written, it is written, it is written. Get thee behind me, Satan." And that's basically what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are doing. What would you have answered if you had been summoned before the most powerful man on the face of the earth and threatened with being thrown into the burning fiery furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were? What would you have done? You know what the answer to that is? The answer is this. You would have done the same thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Because this isn't their part in this. This is the Holy Spirit working in their heart. And they were the same, made of this, cut from the same cloth you and I are. They had the same fears, the same anxieties that you and I have. So do we all. The difference is that the Holy Spirit dwells within the heart. Son of God said this to his disciples. I'm in Matthew chapter 10. And I'm beginning at verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now that's a scary picture. Imagine a pack of wolves, hungry, on the prowl, looking for something to eat, and a sheep comes wandering into their midst. That's the picture. But it didn't happen by accident. Behold, I send you forth. That's the Son of God talking. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. what's your reaction to be? Therefore, be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And this takes the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Son of God continues, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are standing before the king now. But when they deliver you up, listen to this, when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. Don't have a planned attack. That's how the devil works. You don't do that. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. That was true of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it's true of every single elect child of God. We don't have to be afraid of these things. It shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of your Father which dwelleth in you. So, we would have reacted by the grace of God in the same way that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reacted by the grace of God. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit, and this is a promise from the Son of God himself. Notice that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't butter up the king like the Chaldeans did. They speak bluntly. They speak truthfully. If it be so, if it's his will, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. We know he can do it. He might not. Maybe it's not his will. That's up to him. But if it is his will, he'll do it. He can do it. But he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. We're ready to die for this. You see the power of the Holy Spirit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here had the same faith that Moses had, and the Holy Spirit describes that for us in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm beginning at verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was called to come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, sometimes crosses are placed upon them that we have no choice on. They're given to us. Other times we have a choice. Moses had a choice. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses was the number two man probably in all Egypt and might have been Pharaoh someday. He had power. He had clout. But he refused to stay there. He refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh, a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose something else. We have the same thing. We have things to refuse and we have things to choose. He refused all the riches of Egypt. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had recompense unto the reward. He's looking ahead. He's looking not for this life, but the life of the world to come. He's got a true faith, and this is of the Holy Spirit. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, followed a flock of sheep for 40 years, and then returned and led the people of God out. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. This is the same faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. Same faith you and I have. The king had issued the challenge. This was his big mistake. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, we'll show you. God will show you. There's a poem that has been written, and it's entitled Between the Circumstance and Me. It's based on Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, where the children of Israel had left Egypt and the army of Pharaoh with the 600 chariots and all the others followed and were ready to annihilate God's people. There was a cloud that the people followed. It went before them and they followed the cloud. And Jesus Christ was in that cloud. And so in Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, we read this. And the angel of God, in the Old Testament, whenever it talked about the angel of God, is talking about Jesus Christ, one of his appearances in Old Testament times. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. So all of a sudden, the cloud that was ahead of them, that they were following, it moved, and it went behind the children of Israel, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. So now that cloud is between the two camps, Israel and the Egyptians. And the picture here is that if Pharaoh and his Egyptians want to destroy the children of Israel, they've got to deal with the one in the cloud first. That's their problem, and it's a big one. So it was a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the children of Israel, so that the one came near to the other not at all during the whole night. So between the two camps was that cloud. This is the poem. Between the circumstance and me, a Father's loving hand is working all things for my good. All moves at his command. Between the circumstance and me, a Father's loving heart knows all the problems of the path and bears a Father's part. Between the circumstance and me, a Father's holy will is overruling everything with wisdom and with skill. Behold the Savior on the cross in deepest agony, who suffered to atone for sin in love for you and me. The love that held him to that cross to suffer and to die, that love remains the same today, and hears his people's cry. The power that raised him from the dead, that resurrection power, is working for his people's good each moment and each hour. Oh, why be burdened then with care? The love that set thee free, such love is evermore between the circumstance and thee. And when above the circumstance we see God's hand and ways, its comfort, peace, and blessing gives, and cause for endless praise. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And that's true of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's true of you and me. Remember, the king can only kill the body, but he cannot kill the soul. And remember this also, there are two furnaces of burning fire. And those who bow down and worship the image of the king will be cast into another fiery furnace called hell in Scripture. And that's a fire down there that's never going to go out. It's an eternal fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew this. And therefore, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from this little fire that you've kindled, O King. If it's his will, he will do it. But if not, know this. We will not bow down and worship your image, King. We won't. We're willing to die for what we believe in. This comes of the Holy Spirit. And the same thing that was true for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is true for you and for me.